All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, while you're turning there, last week I was home on my couch and the live stream did work last week, so I was watching y'all on live stream last week and I heard the excellent testimony of our Acuna mission team. And I loved hearing the answers to their questions, especially the last one when Michael asked them, "How did you see God at work on this mission trip?" So I was sitting at home with COVID, as it turned out. And by the way, it was miserable. I've never been that sick in all my life. I've had COVID twice now, and that is by far the worst I have ever felt. So thank you for praying for me. And Michael, thank you for filling in last week. I was homesick on the couch, couldn't hardly think. But I'm telling you, when I heard the answers to the questions, "How did you see God at work on this mission trip?" it was like a shot of vitamin C to my weary soul. I pumped up, I stood up, I even stood during the final closing hymn. Carla wasn't there, I wouldn't have done this. I stood up and I sang really loud, Bob, really loud. And the cops were called after that, and then turned into a rough day. Listen, I was so encouraged by that, and I want to share with you why. Because God is always at work. Amen. Always at work. And we often miss it, but God is always, He's always up to something. He's always arranging the pieces of our life. He is always at work. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "My Father is still working." Some translations say, "My Father is always at work." He is still working, Jesus said. And then he said this, "And I am working also." And then listen to this. In Philippians chapter 2, here's what the Bible says. "For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to His good purpose." My dear friends, God is always at work, always arranging the pieces of your life and your story for His glory. And what we have to do is recognize two things. First, stating the obvious, we have to recognize that He's always at work. Even on your mundane, boring day, God is always at work. And secondly, we got to recognize that He's at work in you, that we are a part of His work. Over the next 10 weeks, we're going to go on this journey together as a church, because you see, 10 weeks from now, on Sunday, April the 6th, the Rennet Community Church will officially be planted, will officially host Sunday morning services. On Sunday, April 6th, 2025, there will be a church family gathered at 301 West Hubbard, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
But on Sunday, January 19th, First Baptist Church, Moberly, will begin seeing herself as a kingdom-minded sending church for the Rennet replant. Now, to be kingdom-minded, let me share with you what that means. If you've already filled out your survey, let me share with you what that means. To be kingdom-minded means that we are not concerned about what's best for us. Our concern is what the King would have us to do. What the King would have us to do in relation to His kingdom. Not what's best for me, not what's best for you. What does our King want? That's what it means to be kingdom-minded. To be kingdom-minded means that we don't primarily see ourselves as members of First Baptist Church. No, we are first and foremost missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a sending church means that we sacrifice, that we send resources wherever our King commands. And those resources might be people, it might be money, it might be Bibles, it might be Bible study resources. It might be pastors, it might be mission teams, but we sacrifice and we send resources wherever our King commands us to go. And why do we do that? Somebody asked me, why do we do that? Man, y'all like reading my mind. At least my wife is. I don't know if anybody else is. Why do we do that? Let me share with you why we do that. Because those resources are not ours. The money in our bank is not ours. The members on our church rolls, you, I, we don't belong to us. We belong to the Lord.
Yes.
It's all the Lord's. We are simply stewards of what God has entrusted to us. This building is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. So to be a kingdom-minded sending church means that we obey our King in whatever it is that He asks us to do. And my dear friends, He is asking us to take on the monumental task of planting a church in a little village a little community called Rennick. So the question is, what do we do next? Like, how do we become a kingdom-minded, sending church for the Rennick replant? Well, today we're going to begin to answer that question by starting at the very beginning and examining the command of a sending Savior. In particular, you're going to discover three reasons why we go. Three reasons why we go. To be a sending church implies one thing, that we are also a going church. Three reasons why we go. If you have your Bibles open, let me invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word. The passage will be on the screen for you if you didn't bring a Bible. If you did, use your Bible. It's far better to look at your Bible than to look at the screen. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. God's Word says this. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped. But some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your goodness and kindness. Father, I pray you would give me strength right now in this very moment. I pray that you would help me to preach your word. And I pray, Father, that lives are changed not because of anything that I say, but because of what you say through your word. Change our lives, equip us, mold us, make us, and shape us into who you would have us to be. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three reasons we go. And your first question is, where are we going? And the answer is wherever he leads. Three reasons we go is an open-ended statement, because I don't know where the Lord's calling you to go. Remember that old hymn, wherever he leads. Sing it with me. Wherever he leads. We got the lyrics on the screen. So where are we going, church family? Wherever he leads. And why? Why are we going? Why do we go? Well, the first reason we go is this. We go because we have been saved by the Lord. If you have been saved, then the King of Kings is now the Lord of your life. If you've repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, then you have been eternally ushered into the kingdom of God, not as a loyal subject, but listen to me, if you have trusted in Christ and repented of your sins, you have been eternally ushered into the kingdom of God as a son or a daughter of the Most High King. You are a part of the royal family of God. If you have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, if you have been saved, if you have not been saved, then let me beg of you, repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The 11 disciples here in Matthew 28, they had trusted in Christ. They were born again. They were saved. And because they were saved, they went. Look at verse 16. Look in your Bibles. Verse 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. Question, how many disciples are there? 11. Question, where did they go? Galilee. Question, why did they go? That's what Jesus told them to do. Did you know that Galilee is roughly 100 miles from Jerusalem? Do you know that? Did you also know, this might be shocking to you, there were no planes, trains, or automobiles in this day. 100 miles away. And beyond that, when they got to Galilee, what does your Bible say? Verse 16. Where were they told to go? Whoo, you mean we got to take a 100-mile hike, and when we get there, we got to walk up a mountain. Do you realize how inconvenient that was? Do you realize how inconvenient it was to take a 100-mile hike in Israel and then hike up a mountain once you get there? Hey, do you realize how inconvenient it is to follow the Lord, to be obedient to what the Lord has called you to do. Listen, if you're looking for convenience, head to Casey's. That's the place to go. But if you're looking for convenience in following the Lord, you're looking in the wrong place. It's not convenient to be obedient to the Lord. Furthermore, it isn't easy to be obedient to the Lord. If you think following Jesus is easy and convenient and that he works around your schedule, you're probably not following the Lord. Because ain't nothing about following Jesus easy. But when Jesus told these 11 to go to Galilee and hike up that mountain, I'm willing to bet a few of them were like, can't we just meet here? Like, we got this place right here. There's only 11 of us. We don't need a big room. What do we need a mountain for? Do you realize how much faith it took to hike 100 miles up a mountain, all because that's what Jesus said to do? It would have been a lot easier for them to hang out where they were, but they didn't. Instead, what did they do? They started walking. And I'm sure along the way they were singing, I would walk 100 miles. And I'm going to stop. That was a funny one, though. It was hilarious in my head. I still have COVID brain, so y'all got to go with me, okay? They walked 100 miles. They took a 100-mile hike, all because that's what Jesus told them to do. Right here, we have a picture of some kingdom-minded disciples. They sacrificed and did what Jesus told them to do. No doubt they knew the Lord. They were saved by him and they were obedient to him. And look at verse 17. The Bible says that when they saw him, which implies that they did not see him while they were walking. Do you get that? They get there, they get to the mountain, and when they saw him, what did they do? What does your Bible say? They worshiped, but some did what? Doubted. Now somebody asked me, will we ever know why they doubted? Somebody asked me that. I doubt we'll ever find out. COVID brain, I'm blaming COVID on that one too. Listen here, we don't know why they doubted. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I want to just read to you a quote from one theologian, Douglas O'Donnell. He said this, perhaps the nature of their doubt was the initial unbelief because it was all just so unbelievable. I mean, think about this. They were standing before the exact same Jesus that they saw on the cross being crucified. And now he was on a mountain in Galilee, 100 miles away. They were standing before the same Jesus that they buried in the tomb. He had a tombstone. They were standing before the resurrected Son of God, and it was unbelievable. And they were like, this cannot be real. This cannot be happening. This cannot be true. Hey, listen, part of being a sending church is recognizing that God is going to do some pretty unbelievable things through you. There are going to be some times where you're going to say, man, I cannot believe that God is doing that. That he is using me to do that thing. The disciples went to Galilee, 100 miles from Jerusalem, all because they had been saved by the Lord. They were obedient. We go because we've been saved by the Lord. Secondly, we go because we have been sent by the Lord. Our God, by his very nature, is a sending God. He is a God who sends. Over the last month in December, we considered Christmas, and what might have escaped you at the time was the sending nature of our God. As we celebrated the fact that the Father sent the Son. We celebrated the fact that God the Father sent his Son for us. Jesus says this in John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. Our God is a sending God. So it makes sense that a kingdom-minded people would be primarily concerned with the mind of their king. That a kingdom-minded people would have one thing on their mind. And the one thing on their mind would be, what's on the mind of my king? And because God is a sending God, we too are a sent people from a sending church belonging to a sending God. We send people here, we send people there, we send people everywhere because we are a kingdom-minded people. And we see ourselves primarily as missionaries sent out for Jesus, not members sitting on a pew stewing about something. We are missionaries sent out for Jesus, which means this, that wherever we go, we are representatives of our great King. When the world sees you, they ought to see Jesus through you. Listen to what this passage says. Matthew 28, it's what it's all about. I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice in verse 18. I want you to notice authority. Everybody say authority. And I want you to notice instruction. Everybody say instruction. First, notice that Jesus has authority, all authority. Look at verse 18. Jesus came near to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Listen, this is a divine claim of Christ. He has all authority. How many of you watched the Chiefs yesterday? You know there was a couple of calls where the refs blew the whistle. And they made a call and they said, penalty on the Texans. And it wasn't really roughing the passer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, I want you to imagine for a minute that I was there at the game. I wasn't, but I want you to imagine that I was. And I want you to imagine I'm standing on the sideline. I'm there next to my team, the Chiefs. And I want you to imagine that I see Patrick Mahomes get hit. And it's not a huge hit, but as a Chiefs fan, I think it's huge enough. And so imagine that I'm there and I say, penalty. What's going to happen? Nothing. Okay, now imagine, let me turn my mic off for a minute. Imagine nothing. But what happened when the guy with the black and white striped shirt blew his whistle and said penalty? The game stopped. The game stopped. And the ball moved where the referee wanted it to move. Now, what's the difference between the guy with the black and white striped shirt and me? One has authority and the other has a whistle. That's the difference. And listen to me, Jesus, he is the one who has the authority. He's the one who has all the authority, which means this, Brian cannot tell you to go to Rennick. I can tell you, but you ought not listen to me. Why? Because I'm just a dude with a whistle. Brian cannot tell you to pack up and move across the country. Why? Because I'm just a guy with a whistle. Brian can't tell you to sacrifice your Christmas vacation and build a house in the desert for two families. Why? Because I'm just a guy with a whistle. But hear me, when the Lord Jesus blows the whistle, and when he tells you to go, you best be going. Why? Because he has all authority. So when he blows the whistle, you listen and obey. Jesus has the authority. Everybody say authority. He has the authority to send us where he wants. And he gives us the instructions once we get there. Look at verse 19. So Jesus sends us, but he sends us with purpose. Look at verse 19. Go, the Bible says, go therefore and do what? Make disciples. That's the central command of this passage. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. The central theme, the central instruction that he gives us is this: make disciples. The word go means as you live, as you do your things, as you go to work, make disciples. As you go to school, make disciples. On your mundane, boring day, make disciples. Because God is always at work. And he's always using you, and he's asking you to make disciples. So as you go, make disciples of all nations. And you say, how do we do that? Well, he gives us the instructions. First, to make disciples, we have to evangelize. We tell people who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters. And second, to make disciples, we have to baptize those who make a profession of faith. Hey, if you're here and you haven't been baptized, quit messing around. Let's do it. Next Sunday, let's get you baptized. Be obedient to the Lord. First, to make disciples, we've got to evangelize. Then we need to baptize. And then according to this passage, to make disciples, we do what? Third, we teach. We teach them to obey some of the things Jesus said. Is that what it says? All the things that Jesus has commanded. You want to make disciples? That's how you do it. Evangelize, baptize, teach. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it something you can't do. Don't tell the Lord you can't do it. He's got all the authority. And He is not interested in your excuses. You want to know what He's interested in? Your obedience. Don't give Him the excuse, oh, I can't do that. You can, because He's asked you to. And He's the one who empowers us to do it. We go because we've been saved by the Lord. We go because we've been sent by the Lord. And perhaps the most comforting of all, we go because we are secure with the Lord. Being secure with the Lord is such a comfort. I want you to hear Jesus' words at the end of verse 20. Your translation might say something a little different. My translation says, and remember. Do you see that? Your translation might say, behold, or lo. The Greek word means like look, behold, stare upon this thing. It's like Jesus is saying, remember this. Lock it deep into your brain. Don't ever let it go. Remember what I'm about to tell you. And look at what He says. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And here's what we tend to do in our minds. Like we come here on Sunday morning and we sing, wherever He leads, I'll go. But in our hearts, we're singing, but if it's over there, I'm a no. Like we have this place in our mind, right, where we say, I'll go anywhere the Lord wants me to go, but not there. Not Egypt. Not Atlanta. Not Renick. Not wherever. And do you know why we say that? You know why we say, man, I hope the Lord never calls me there? Because we forget that we've been saved by the Lord. And we forget that we've been sent by the Lord. And we forget that we are secure with the Lord who has promised His presence with us. But Jesus commands us to behold that promise. He is with you. Church family, do you think you can go anywhere in the world where God is not? He is not good. It is no fun to play hide and seek with God. He'll find you every time. He knows where you are. There's nowhere you can hide, nowhere you can flee, nowhere you can go that God cannot see you. And furthermore, nowhere you can go that God is not with you. And that's not me saying that. That's God's perfect word saying that. He's there with you. And if you want to tell Him no, go ahead. I can't stop you. I'm just a guy with a whistle. But I can tell you there was a guy named Jonah who told God no. And he smelled a lot like he stunk afterwards. I don't want you to stink. I don't want to stink. I want to be obedient to the Lord. So as we think about what the Lord has in store for us, we know that the Lord is calling us as a church to replant the Renick Church. And I just want to give you three reasons why I feel so strongly that the Lord is calling us, First Baptist Moberly, to be the sending church, to sacrifice and send and go for the sake of the lost in Renick. Three reasons why. Number one, burden. I have a deep, deep burden that we must take the gospel into Renick. You could easily say, it's 5 miles away. Why can't they just come here? Well, because God said that we're to go there. You see that? Matthew 28 says, go, not let them come to you. I have a deep burden, and some of you have a deep burden, when you see the lostness, when you see the need for a church to minister to a community that has been forgotten, I see a need for a community to know the greatness of God. Number one is a burden. Number two is a building. Right now, there is a building at 301 West Hubbard that once called itself the Rennick Church. And today, it stands as a tombstone to the community. It's a reminder that the church is dead. That the church didn't work in Rennick. And listen, it is true that the church in Rennick died. And long about 2019, 2020, it is true that the church in Rennick is now a tombstone. It is equally true that Jesus also died. It is equally true that Jesus also had a tombstone. And it is equally true, and above all, it is amazingly true that our God is a God who specializes in resurrection. That he brought, that Jesus came back to life. And now the tombstone of Jesus is like a laughing stock. Ha! Couldn't stop Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, on Sunday, April the 6th, that building at 301 West Hubbard in Rennick, Missouri, is going to be filled with people praising Jesus and glorifying God, and some of you will be there. There's a burden, there's a building, and thirdly, there's a blessing. The church replant in Rennick has been approved by the North American Mission Board, and without getting into a lot of details, let me just share with you what that means. It means that we have the added blessing of financial support from the North American Mission Board to the tune of about $51,000 over the next 4 years. So when you give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering this year, you should know that part of that offering is going directly to Rennick. That's who's funding it. It's a small amount over 4 years, but it's a huge blessing. We've got a burden, we've got a building, we've got a blessing. The Lord has called us to be a kingdom-minded sending church for the Rennick replant. And church family, a few minutes ago, we sang, "Wherever He leads, I go." It's one thing to sing it. It's another thing to mean it. Wherever He leads, I'm going. Wherever He leads, I hope you go. Here's the end of it. We are a sending church. I shared that vision with you 2.5 years ago, Bob. When Bob retired, I shared that vision that we see the day when God will make us into a multi-generational sending church. Last year, we sent 51 people on mission to places like Mexico and the foreign mission field of Iowa. And we didn't lose anybody. We brought them all back. All 51 people came back. But sometimes being a sending church means that we say goodbye, not see you next week. Sometimes it means that we say goodbye. And sometimes it means that when we wave goodbye, we do so with tears in our eyes, knowing that we might not ever see them again this side of heaven. But we go anyways. And we send anyways. Because our God is a sending God. And we are a sending church. The best illustration that I can give you today is to invite Susan and Larry Sane to come up to the pulpit and ask them to share their news with you. Susan and Larry joined our church in 2013. In 2016, Susan became our children's director and has faithfully served ever since then. Larry serves as our custodian, and he was also ordained as a deacon in April of 2022, I believe. And today they are going to be my sermon's closing illustration.
You're a hard act to follow. Oh, my. It hasn't been easy. Just as the Lord sent Jesus on mission to the earth to present the gospel to save souls so we could live with Him for eternity, He taught his disciples to share the word with others, and we've been taught to do the same. Susan and I would like to share our mission journey with you that started in California. And we were married in 94 and then joined a mega church, which was kind of neat. But in the process of going to the church, she ended up as the cafe manager. The big church had a cafe in it. It was a pretty good size. But you see, the surrounding area was a kind of an industrial complex area. So the people in the other businesses would come over to the church for lunch. They got to witness all the time, which was good. Then we were offered a chance to pray about a trip to Belize, Central America, to teach children. We had another 12 people on the way. Susan and I were the oldest. The rest of them were somewhere between 30 and 40. We got there and it was kind of neat. I did some construction work, and Susan and some of the other people helped teach the kids about Jesus in school. And there's a switch for you. In the meantime, the Lord called me to preach the word there in a little church. And that changed. Anyway, we came back, and in 2003, we decided that we could no longer attend the big church because it was good, but it's just we needed to get out with the people. In Tracy, California, which is about an hour away from our house, ended up being our second mission. It was an African-American church housed in the projects. If you've never been to the projects, I urge you to go and tell people about Jesus. It's an interesting experience. We taught the children, spread the word, and at that time I was being trained for ministerial license. It's your turn.
Which you received.
I received in 2006.
God called us to change our mission location to Moberly, Missouri in 2010. A neighbor invited us to Salisbury Second Baptist Church, which we attended for a short time. And Larry became the interim pastor for a year and a half. Still, we were on mission for the Lord. After our time was up in Salisbury, we began to attend FBC Moberly and joined the church in 2013. Which was our new vision field. God called each of us to different areas within the church. Now, 2025, the call from our Father has come again. Our new location will be Oregon on the west coast of the United States. So we're letting you know that we should be relocated by April or May of this year. This decision hasn't been easy because we love the body of this church, the preaching of the word, and the dedication of this church. However, God's calling is greater than our wants. God calls each of us to share the gospel. Larry and I are people who are going where God sends us. This is how our relationship with God has started, and we will continue to go on mission. Our last day on staff will be February 28th. The scripture Proverbs 16:9 tells us, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps.
Church family, we are a sending church. And so what I want to ask Susan and Larry to do, if you would, we're going to enter into our closing hymn of invitation. And I want to ask you, Susan and Larry, if you would just kneel at the altar and pray while we sing this final song. And many of you in our congregation may want to come up and pray with them and pray over them and bless them, encourage them, be an encouragement and a blessing to them. As we're not saying goodbye yet. They still got a few weeks here with us, but they are heading to Oregon, and we're so grateful that the Lord has called them here for the time they've called them here. So if you feel urged to come and pray with them, please do that. You might feel the need to come to the altar and pray and commit to being a part of the work in Renick. You might feel the need to come to the altar and give your life to Jesus. If so, I'll be right here to help you make that most important of all decisions. Let's pray together, and then we're going to enter into our final hymn of invitation. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are making us and have made us into a sending church. I pray, Father, for your help. I pray that you would help us. Father, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would help us to stay the task, to complete the task that you've given to us. Father, I thank you that you've called us to this work. Father, I thank you for Susan and Larry, and I thank you that you have called them here for the time that you've called them here. And Lord, I thank you that you're calling them somewhere else. And Lord, we know that you're going to use them in a mighty way there in Oregon. We pray that you would. We thank you for all the ways that you use us, little old us, broken us. You use us for your glory. And it really is, it's unbelievable. Father, I pray in these next few moments that there's someone in the room who needs to make a decision, maybe a commitment to you to take the gospel into Renick or maybe somewhere else. Maybe a commitment to you to do what you called them to do, or maybe even trusting in you as their Savior and Lord. I pray, Father, you would help each of us to make the decision you would have of us. And I pray this in Jesus' amazing name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's worship, church. Amen.